What is good, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Back at it again today, man. Monday, February 19th. As always, I hope all you guys are doing great out there. Hopefully, all you guys are doing well, staying safe, staying blessed, all those things. We're going to get right into it, man. Today, I got a very good friend of mine. I met through the Twitter sphere. People call it X nowadays. I don't really call it X. It's still Twitter to me. But I got my guy, Dave, man. Dave, welcome to the show, man. Please introduce yourself, plug yourself, and we're going to get right to it.
Yeah, it's definitely, like you say, before we got the chance to chat a bit before we got going here, Kev, but it's a pleasure as always. You know, I've been trying to keep up with these pods as much as I can. You do an awesome job, you know, breaking down the game from, you know, a true fan's perspective. Like you say there, my platform in terms of at Iowa Hoops Dave is pretty much only on there on X/Twitter. So if anyone, you know, wants to follow along, you know, obviously I'm a just general basketball fan as well on top of Iowa and my Milwaukee Bucks. But yeah, certainly, you know, appreciate that. And anyone's, DMs are always open if anyone, you know, wants to collab on a more personal level beyond that, for sure.
Yeah, man, I appreciate my guy Dave just because, you know, people always tune into the national media when it comes to college basketball. And I guess rightfully so, right? They're the big brands and whatever. But it's always good to see the local fans talk about their teams because they always have that in-depth perspective. And Dave is, in my opinion, one of the best when it comes to Iowa hoops, for sure. And so, getting right into it, man, I got to ask you, because people are always talking about our conference, the Big Ten hasn't won and blah, 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 and the Big Ten is mid and whatever. I could say that a lot about literally any conference in the country, but I got to ask you how you felt about the conference as a whole. And then last week we had the breaking news on Valentine's Day where Ohio State fired Chris Holtmann. So how are you feeling about just how the conference has been this year up until this point, again, February 19th, and then we'll talk about Chris Holtmann and Ohio State after.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to kind of get going with the conference as a whole, like you said, Kev, you know, I was talking with my friend who, you know, actually covers Iowa for 24/7 sports. And, you know, this is a really complex question because, like you say, I mean, the Big Ten is obviously one of the most polarizing leagues pretty much every season, right? And, you know, it's especially, you know, last few seasons just due to tournament success felt like, you know, the shtick that they kind of get a slander, you know, it's picked up in recent times. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, probably not going to see quite as many bids this year at the end of the day, but you know, regardless, I think it's been a solid league for sure. Obviously, you know, it feels like a lot of seasons we have, you know, kind of that one team, and obviously that's going to be Purdue this season. But you know, obviously with yourself being a Michigan State fan, I would be feeling, you know, really good compared to, you know, where you're at right now, even if, you know, maybe some things have felt disappointing given preseason expectations. But obviously, you know, at the end of the day, it's a league with, you know, a lot of quality teams, you know, a lot of great home court advantages. And I mean, teams just flat out beating up on each other, right, at the end of the day, especially with, like you say, just, you know, especially like Nebraska is one that really comes to mind for me, as well as Northwestern. I mean, those teams are just absolutely unreal, you know, when you look at their home and away differential, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, the conference can kind of, you know, get over some of that stick, like you were mentioning, of, you know, how it's just performed in March. But, you know, I think regardless of the end of the day, the league's in a good spot for sure. And I'm interested to see how things pan out from there.
No, I agree with you, man. I feel like it's so crazy because, I mean, this is just, you know, foreshadowing, but Rutgers has the number one recruiting class in the country coming in next year, right? I know they're kind of having a down year. They lost a couple good players last year, Cam Spencer, Caleb O'Connell. You look at Minnesota. Minnesota is competing for the first time in a few seasons, right? You look at – you mentioned Northwestern. Boo Booey has done a crazy job. Chris Collins, I give him a lot of credit. The conference is just – it's better than advertised. But at the same time, I know that like the average fan will never give it the same appreciation. But at the end of the day, it's still a Power 5 conference, right? And in my opinion, people keep saying it, it's really no bottom. Like Michigan and Ohio State are probably the worst, but we've seen Michigan just beat Wisconsin. Ohio State just beat Purdue yesterday, right? So it's like it's a crazy spot that we're in, and a lot of people don't really know how to handle seeing, you know, I think Mike Rose is going to get Penn State rolling in a few seasons. You just got to give him time. So to me, man, the Big Ten has always been good. Yes, we haven't won a natty since we did it with Mateen Cleaves, but it's not easy to win a national championship, people. It's hard to win six games in a row like that. I can make the case it's one of the hardest championships to win in all the sports, if I'm being honest with you guys. But I got to ask you about Ohio State because, as I mentioned, they got Chris Holmgren out of there. A lot of people were kind of frustrated with them. Obviously, last season was horrendous. They had a terrible season, had a lot of roster turnover, had a lot of freshmen, had Bryce Sensabaugh, who's now in the NBA. Then you come into this year, you're kind of expecting a jump from Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale. And before we even get into March, the Buckeyes athletic director just says, Chris Holmgren, you got to go. And, of course, again, as I just mentioned, they beat Purdue yesterday with the interim head coach and Diebler. Just talk to me about the current state of Ohio State and if you have any good coaching candidates out there. I've heard a few we'll get into, but just talk to me about how you felt about Chris Holmgren's tenure at Ohio State and why you think they fired him.
Yeah, like you say there, I mean, you know, it's been a couple rough seasons for Ohio State for sure. And I mean, you know, with as much, you know, resources as that school, that athletic department has at their disposal, I mean, you're always gonna, you know, have some pretty, you know, lofty expectations, even if, you know, the basketball program hasn't, you know, necessarily been reaching those heights as maybe like, you know, the earlier 2010s, later 2000s, like you say there. But, you know, it feels like when you go back to that COVID season, Kev, that's kind of when Ohio State, you know, really kind of missed their chance to kind of have a turning point there with, you know, obviously losing in the round of 64 to Oral Roberts. I'm sure that's going to haunt a lot of their diehards for a long time. And it probably would for me too. But, you know, like you say, it's like a, you know, just kind of circle back really. It's a program, an athletic department with a ton of NIL resources, a ton of huge donors, even if, you know, it's a football school at the end of the day. And, you know, I have to really, you know, respect them for kind of, you know, riding the ship. I mean, I just made the, you know, simple point that getting that win over Purdue on Saturday, or no, it was Sunday, yesterday, actually. Yeah. You know, that's just so massive, just kind of for the momentum of things going forward and, you know, just the chance that, you know, they can continue to, you know, get things going there. Obviously, I'm sure some people want to point that to Purdue's own wrongdoing, right, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point here. But, you know, I think that, you know, they deserve a lot of respect. I love seeing Jameson Battle get his game off the way he did in that game yesterday. And like you say, no doubt, it's definitely an interesting roster. But at the end of the day, gosh, it's just such a brutal league, man. No nights off for sure.
I agree. And I think that point about the Oral Roberts game is the most valid point. I think, again, that was like kind of the tipping point in a sense, just because you had a great opportunity, right? You were a 2 seed, you lose to a 15 seed. I know Max A. Smith went crazy that year, but at the same time, you had opportunity. Dwayne Washington was spectacular that year, right? And to go out in that fashion, I know, again, Ohio State fans are kind of spoiled because of their football program, so I assume they expect greatness in every other, you know, athletic department. But at the same time, like, you know, basketball is difficult. And Holmgren, you know, shout out to my guy Michael Lofton. He's a Butler fan, and he told me years ago, like, Holmgren just wasn't a fit there. He just wasn't the guy. And I kind of seen it, but I feel like he could also make it work just because, again, the expectations are high, but they're not sky high. Like, they're not through the roof high. But I've heard a lot of good coaching candidates. I've heard Greg McDermott. I've heard Sean Miller. I've heard Lamont Paris. I don't really think you can go wrong with any of those guys, to be honest, because as you said, they have the NIL. They got the donors. They get the support. You're in Ohio. You're in the Midwest. You got a whole bunch of different, you know, avenues you could take recruiting-wise. So we'll see where they go. I'm sure we'll get some updates within the next few weeks. But you spoke about Purdue. And I haven't talked too much about Purdue on my show this year just because they're kind of like our arch nemesis, being a Michigan State fan. So it's kind of like I give them credit because I do like Matt Painter. I will say that. I want to put that on wax too. Like, I do respect Matt Painter just as much as any coach in the Big Ten and in the country, just because I feel like when it comes to X's and O's, he does a great job with that, right? He knows how to get guys, recruit guys that fit into his system. He loves these 7-3 guys. Zach Edey just happens to be the best of them. And I mean, what they've done these past couple regular seasons, they've been absolutely dominant. So I know they lost yesterday, as we both just mentioned, but how you feel about Purdue? Do you think they could get that monkey off their back and finally make a deep tournament run? You think this is the year with Braden, with Zach? You think they could finally break through?
I think, well, here's the thing, like, they definitely have a great opportunity. And, you know, I talked about it with my friend Sean Buck, like I say, who covers Iowa for 24/7, you know, kind of leading up to that game, obviously, you know, the magnitude that, you know, hosting them here is going to be, right. But, you know, just getting the chance to, you know, really break down where they've gone. I mean, you have to talk about, you know, Braden Smith's, you know, ascendance this season, because I think it's probably fair to say that, in my opinion, well, I guess it's debatable, but, you know, I think he's probably their biggest, you know, kind of just variable in terms of, you know, how they're going to be able to get on in that, you know, point time in the season, because, I mean, it just kind of felt like last year, you know, you obviously, you know, had Edie getting his, and, you know, the same definitely applies this season, but, you know, it just felt, you know, really unpredictable, Kev, what you were going to get between Smith and Lawyer last season on a nightly basis, right? But, you know, Smith's ascendance this season is definitely what makes me feel like they have a chance. Obviously, like, I feel like getting Lance Jones has definitely been huge for their team as well. But, you know, he has to be on. Like, they both have to be on, you know, when the time comes to, you know, get that chance. Because something I was talking about with one of my friends as well is that it feels like, you know, the quality of, you know, like 8 and 9 seeds have really been, you know, just improving throughout recent times with the parity in the sport. And, you know, that's obviously just not going to give them any breaks for sure. So I think, and, you know, part of, like, when you talk about Purdue is, you know, like you say, those lofty expectations, and especially on top of losing to double digit seeds like 3 seasons in a row now, you know, it's obviously gonna, you know, just bear a lot on their, you know, like you say, just their standard. Because I mean, if they make it to, you know, the Sweet 16, which feels like really realistic, and, you know, they go out to a, you know, I mean, obviously a really good team, but, you know, not a 1 seed at the end of the day, it's like, how do you not, you know, view that as, you know, kind of disappointing from their own perspective? But I think, you know, at the end of the day, they're definitely gonna have that opportunity. And I mean, I don't know how you necessarily feel, but I personally don't like, you know, I feel like Zach Edey's fairly kind of treated unfairly at times, but I think a lot of people need to appreciate, you know, what he has done compared to, you know, what he won't do. And I think it's funny because a lot of people don't realize how high his NBA stock has gotten to this point, which is, I mean, really blown my mind in all honesty. But you know, just to kind of, you know, make the final point, I think Purdue has a great opportunity in front of them for sure. But I mean, at the same time, you know, like you say, it feels like they have to almost make like the Elite Eight to feel like, you know, they truly kind of righted the ship with everything that's happened in recent time.
I agree again, bro. Just because Zach Edey has not had that tournament success. The year they got close, they got to the Elite Eight, they lost to St. Peter's, they were on the brink of the Final Four. Right, they were right there, or I believe that might have been the Sweet 16. I want to say it was Sweet 16.
Yeah,
they were right there. Right, St. Peter's obviously was a Cinderella year. They went and beat Kentucky. Right, did what they were supposed to do for the most part. But I just feel like they were right there, and so for Edey to get that full credit that I think he should already get, as you said, I agree. I think he's already cemented himself as an all time great in that program. I think he broke the record, the rebounding record, like a couple days ago, or in that game yesterday. I want to say. He's cemented in my eyes, but I think having that run would just be like, okay, you get that run, you're good. The key to me, though, I think because for the most part, you know what you're going to get out of Edey and you know what you're going to get out of Braden Smith. Fletcher Lawyer has not been that good recently, which is kind of a concern for me. Lance Jones has kind of been consistent, but I think you need one of those wings to step up between Mason Gillis, Ethan Morton, and Caleb First. And those guys really don't play as much as they should. Or Mason Gills plays probably the most, I want to say, out of those guys.
Yeah.
But I think those guys, one of those guys has to step up. Like, they just have to, in my opinion. Because, again, you know what you're going to get from your point guard. You know what you're going to get from Edey every game. Lance Jones is consistent for the most part on defense. He'll give you life here on offense. But one of those wings has to, just because it feels like they're not necessarily bland, I want to say, but they're just one-dimensional, right? And This is the thing that rattles me with them, is that one thing Painter's always been known for is having knockdown shooters. And I feel like he hasn't had that knockdown guy in a couple years now. Like, last year, Fletcher was really good, but I look at Fletcher more of a scorer, right? You've had Carson Edwards. You've had Grady Eifer. You've had a whole bunch of snipers go through there. And I feel like Edey never has played with a dead-eye shooter like that. And I feel like that's always been a big-time thing with me. So I just – it's weird to me, but we'll see. I am rooting for them just because I do root for the Big Ten. I'm not a champion of the Big Ten like my guys Sleepers Network are, but I do root for the Big Ten in the tournament quietly. I don't say it out loud too much, but I do. Even if it's Michigan, who I know they're not sniffing the tournament this year, but when they are there, I do root for them a little bit. But
yeah,
let's get into your Hawkeye. Go ahead.
For sure. Or I was just going to add, even just having like a Stefanovic, you know, on top of their roster this year, that would be just such a game changer for them without a doubt.
Nah, I agree 100%, man. And it's kind of shocking to me that nobody's really brought that up, because, again, that's, to me, that's been a staple of what Painter does. He runs shooters off all these crazy actions, kind of like, you know, Fran does in a sense. and they just knock down shots. And if it's a miss, then you got Edie to clean it up every single time for the most part. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I'm hoping they do something this year, because not only do they need it, but the Big Ten as a whole probably needs it more than anything. But get into your Hawkeyes, man, because that's what we're here for, right? Your Iowa Hawkeyes. So far into this season, how would you summarize their play this part of the season? Because we do match up tomorrow at the Breslin Center. That's why we're here. But just how would you, again, summarize your squad so far this season on February 19th?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the year, you know, despite some of the lows that, you know, the program and has kind of, you know, been experiencing compared to where we've been, you know, for the better part of, I mean, the last five seasons now, right? Which is, I think, really saying, you know, something considering the, you know, just kind of general run that we've had. Despite that, I mean, we haven't really had, you know, any, I mean, huge like valleys in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, like last season, you know, he had a brutal quad four loss to Eastern Illinois, but, you know, we're undefeated there. We had a couple of at the time quad three losses this season, but they've all, you know, moved up, especially with kind of Maryland's ascendance in recent time. I mean, you know, just sort of on top of that as well, it feels like, you know, we haven't hit as many, you know, peaks, obviously, at the same time as well, obviously. And I'd say that I feel like I'm being a little overly critical, maybe coming off, you know, the first quad one win of the season on Saturday against Wisconsin. But, you know, just kind of, you know, given where we're at, and like I say, the fact that we still have as much to play for at this point in the year, I think, is a good testament to, you know, just the overall job that we've done. And, you know, I think some people would mention that, you know, they've kind of maybe missed like opportunities at times. And there definitely, you know, has been that, given, you know, whether you want to say close losses or a couple of games that we should have won that we weren't able to pull out in the end. And, you know, on top of that, we kind of do have a absolutely brutal, you know, few games to close out the year here. But, you know, just like I was saying, we were talking about it before we got, you know, recording here briefly. The fact that, you know, no matter how the season kind of pans out, there's going to be, you know, a lot of good, you know, optimistic things to take us with going forward, especially with, like you say, Fran today, you know, pretty much cementing that, you know, he's not going to be, quote, retiring anytime soon, right? So I love that for our guys. And I mean, you know, just want to, you know, I'm going to, you know, some people, like I say, going back to, you know, the schedule thing, they're going to view that as, you know, something scary, something that is going to, you know, not necessarily pan out well, be apathetic. But, you know, I want to view it as a great opportunity, no matter what the results may bring.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at it right here. You guys lost your top two scorers from last year, right? You lost Chris, you lost Philip Rabracha, you lost Connor McCaffrey too, right?
Exactly. And I'm sure you know what Connor was bringing to those teams as well, especially the last couple of seasons.
Exactly. So, again, as you said, for y'all to still be playing for something at this point in time, like, I mean, let's be honest, most people in the national media and just in general that cover the Big Ten didn't really have you guys doing anything, right? And you're still competing. And, you know, big salute to Tony Perkins. Had a big-time game the other day versus Wisconsin. That's what I really want to ask you about next. But, you know, he's really, you know, he kind of struggled in that first half. I believe he got into foul trouble, had to sit out for a little bit. And you had Brock come in and give you some good minutes and ended up going to overtime and beating the Badgers. I know the Badgers have been reeling recently, but nonetheless, to me, I was very high on Wisconsin going into the year. I still am. I know they're in a downward spiral, what it looks like right now, but I think they'll bounce back, hopefully. But just what were your main takeaways from that game? Because it was a really fun game Saturday in Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yeah, I mean, like you say there, with being, you know, kind of the young team that we are, there's it is feel a little, you know, bad to say that, you know, there was kind of some, you know, things that, you know what I'm saying, like negatives that you could take away at the same time, mm-hmm. on top of obviously the good stuff. Because I mean, there was definitely a period, especially like the first 10 minutes of the game, where, you know, defense for us was not where it needed to be. And at the same time, sort of at the flip side of it, you know, they definitely didn't protect that lead as much as you maybe would have liked. Because I was reading up earlier from my friend, in the final like 7 minutes, Iowa was, I think, 2-10 from the field, while Wisconsin was 3-6 from the field in the last 3 minutes, right? So you know, you kind of didn't want that game to go to overtime from our perspective, but, you know, obviously good that, you know, they were able to string a couple of stops together despite, you know, going down four in the first like minute of overtime as well on top of that. But, you know, just simply put, it was good to see that, you know, we won the rebounding battle there. That's felt like something that, you know, really has had a long way to go for us throughout the season, but it was great to, you know, see AO and be able to stay in the game. That's really been like the only thing preventing him from producing at the consistent consistent basis that he has been able to for the most part. And like you mentioned, Brock, it was great to see the juice he kind of brought to us in the first half there. I think that could really be a turning point for him to, you know, really solidify, you know, a defined role with us. And obviously, you know, our main players all stepped up. We had, let me look back here. We all had, oh gosh, of course I closed it. We had, let's see here, four guys with 17 or plus, Dix, Owen, Perkins, and Peyton Sanford, right, all contributing there. So, and I said before at the start of the season, this team would certainly be at the best when, you know, multiple guys were contributing, you know, kind of on a balanced basis. And that's the type of stuff I certainly want to see going forward.
I agree. This, we'll talk about it in a second, but that's exactly what my Spartans have been needing, just our top four guys to just be competitive consistently, right, and step up to the plate based on what we have so far this season. But I got to ask you about Owen Freeman. It's only right because, to me, you know, when you look going back to the start of the season, everybody was talking about, you know, Deshaun Harris-Smith at Maryland. They were talking about Xavier Booker. They were talking about Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn at Illinois when it comes to freshmen. Now, when we look at it, I believe he won, you would know what, his ninth Big Ten freshman of the week so far. I think he's only, what, three away from breaking Jared Sellinger's record. I think it's, what, only about 3 weeks left in the season. So he has a chance to do it, though, right? He has a chance to get right there. Which is crazy, right? And I never even knew that until I watched the game the other day, because I know Jared Sellinger was a beast, but, I mean, 12 times, that's very tough. But Owen, though, again, big-time player coming out of Illinois, coming out the state of Illinois, and he's producing a high level. Like, this is one thing I got to say before I let you go, is that as a freshman, to average double-digit points, because I see he averaged 11 points for you guys, that's hard. Even just averaging, like, 6 to 7 points is tough, and especially as a big man in the Big Ten, where we're notoriously known for having the best bigs in the country, I got to give Owen Freeman a lot of credit, man. So just – let me ask you, did you expect this from him in year one, and how has he been for the team this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been, you know, the biggest, like, you know, bright spot of the season, without a doubt, in terms of, you know, just kind of moving forward for program momentum, if nothing else, like you say. I mean, if you asked me, you know, at this point in the season, I would have expected him to have, you know, that many freshman of the week honors. I mean, I don't know. It would have been probably hard for me to say yes, just because, I mean, how exceptional it truly has been, right? Because I think just kind of what gets taken for granted, Kev, is just the fact that, you know, he looks like he's been, you know, playing in the Big Ten for two or three seasons now, when, especially in, you know, like I was mentioning, the games where he's able to stay on the floor, because I think that's just kind of been, you know, the only thing that really, you know, glaringly comes to mind that we need to be able to improve there. But I mean, you know, especially in the last few games against Minnesota and Wisconsin as well, he did a good job against Maryland, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, of just staying in the game. Like, just the fact that he's been able to produce on such a consistent basis for us has been unbelievable. And I mean, I think it only has to go back to the job that, I mean, Coach McCaffrey and staff have done with producing, you know, in the post positions here in recent time.
Yeah, man. And I give him a lot of credit just because, as you mentioned, he looks like a vet, right? Watching that Wisconsin game, Steven Crowell, other than Edie, you can make a case Steven Crowell's the best big in the league, right? He's developed a lot over his tenure over there in Wisconsin. But Owen just – he has great patience, great footwork. He had a play where he had the dribble handoff, and then the ball handler reversed it. He set the screen. He rolled. And then he did a spin move to score the layup. Yeah. And I was like, wow. I was like, oh, my God. I thought Chucky Hepburn was about to steal it from him, and he still held on to it and finished. And I was like, man, this dude right here, I'm not looking forward to matching up with him for the next few years, but – he's a hooper. He just gets the job done. But the reason we're here today, man, because we play tomorrow. Again, I'll probably drop this episode tomorrow, but big time matchup for, I think, the both of our teams at this point, right? You know, we're on a 2-game winning streak. We went to Ann Arbor this past weekend, beat Michigan. We went to Penn State, beat them. And then you guys, of course, as I just mentioned, coming off that big time win versus Wisconsin, not at Wisconsin, but versus Wisconsin. So tell me, just what do you think your biggest keys in this game are just to get the win and walk out of Breslin Center with the win?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a daunting task without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you guys always have one of the toughest environments every year, especially at home, right? And it feels honestly unreal to, say that we actually have won four of the last five and, last 10, it's a 6-4 in your guys' favor, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, that just shows to go, shows, just how good the games typically have been between these two programs in recent times. And, but, getting over to, like you say, the more specific stuff, I think, we don't necessarily have to, blow the matchups out of the water, but, especially Tony Perkins and Josh Dix have to be able to compete with T-Walk and Hogard on your guys' side. Obviously, they're one of the most experienced tandems in the league. And Walker was, I mean, absolutely having his way with us last year, especially in the game at Iowa City. He finished with like 30, I think, and shot close to like 75% from the field, I want to say. And Hogard obviously does a tremendous job of getting to the line. It's just something I've always admired about him. It's funny because I would compare what he was doing like last season. I would say, if we could just get that out of Tony on a consistent basis with us, I think that would take, our team to such a great height. And I mean, obviously, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but with the load Tony's taken on this year, I think, it's almost fair to say that like he's taking on like a greater load than him, just kind of in general. I don't want to necessarily say surpass there, but obviously at the end of the day, you're not going to totally shut down Hogard and Walker, but I think we can do a decent job of limiting in there and making those positions a battle. I mean, on top of that, it kind of on a game by game basis lately, I've been really, trying to emphasize like how is Ben Krikey going to potentially be able to get his, because it's like when he's not, able to be a decent offensive cog at times, it, unfortunately, it feels like he's kind of negative out there. And admittedly, like the matchup with Malik Hall likely is something that's going to be intriguing for sure, because I mean, Iowa needs to find a way to combat that, because if Hall is giving you buckets out there, I mean, we've seen how much better MSU can be. And in your home games, I want to say against Minnesota and Wisconsin, like Iowa, well, they really, or excuse me, in our games, we really dug ourselves a hole, right? And I mean, one reason for that is definitely bad perimeter defense. And you guys obviously do a decent job of, shooting on opponents like that. So making 3-point defense a priority from the start is definitely going to be big for us. And simply put as well, we got to be sure to, get Peyton Sanford going when he's, operating efficiently for us. We're just a totally different team. And obviously, he brings a decent amount as well in terms of, playmaking as well. But when he's hitting shots, teams just have to defend us differently. And obviously, I think it's another tangent to get on, but we definitely don't have as much shooting just as we typically would in general this year. So just getting that production from him has just become that much more crucial for Iowa as a whole for sure this season.
Man, and that's always the first thing that hits my mind when we match up, is that we just got to close out. We got to close. Like, I don't even necessarily think we have to run Iowa off the 3-point line, but we just can never – whatever year it is, we can never afford to have lazy closeouts, because Iowa will make you pay every single time. And even going back to last year, right? It's funny because we split, of course, we won at Breslin. Y'all had that crazy comeback at the crib. And I thought we should have won there, and I thought y'all should have won at Breslin, because I remember at the Breslin, you guys, Fran drew up, or whoever in the coaching staff drew up a great play to get a wide open three, and they missed it. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, man, I was sweating that game. It was a crazy game, right? And then, of course, I think we were up like 13 with like 2 minutes left. And then we were like up 11 with a minute left. You guys just went ballistic from the 3-point line. Game goes overtime, and y'all pull it off. But I agree, though. I think the matchup between Ben Krikey and Malik Hall, to me, is going to play a big factor into whoever wins this game. That's just what it is. As you mentioned, Malik has been playing amazing this past a little bit over a month now. I think he's finally hitting that like that seniority thing that most MSU guys have. Kenny Goins went through it a couple years ago, and it's just been on and on and on. And so I think that's a big time thing. And I'm very curious to see how we play Owen, just because, if I'm just being honest, our front court is our most glaring weakness, right? And every time we played the top big men in the league, we've always either trapped them, or we just did a strong dig and just made them force the ball out their hands. And so I'm curious to see how they're going to play that. I think they'll probably try and double them, but I think they'll play them straight up at first with Mahdi. And I think slowly but surely we'll start to double him depending on how he's doing. But I think that's going to be a big time thing too. And I'll just say too is we just got a rebound. I think that's been one of our biggest weaknesses, right? Like we play good defense for the most part, but we just cannot close out the possession with the rebound for some reason. I don't know why, but that's a big time thing. I just think for you guys, it's funny that you compare AJ and Tony because I've always felt the same way, right? They're both two rugged, tough-nosed PGs. I think AJ is a bigger body, and so therefore he has a little bit more strength. But I think Tony as a mid-range shooter is exactly what I love to have AJ. If AJ could get that mid-range jumper down, he'd be virtually unguardable, but kind of the same player. So I think that's going to be another factor into it just because they could potentially cancel each other out depending on which AJ you get, right? Because Saturday he got two fouls in the Michigan game, never was really able to establish a rhythm. And yeah, we still won, but if we want to be the best version of ourselves, people already know Michigan State's known for our point guard play, right? And AJ has to be that guy coming down the stretch, especially as a senior. And it's the same thing for Tony, right? He's averaging 15 points per game. As you said, he's carrying a much bigger offensive load. He's got to facilitate a little bit more. He doesn't have a Tyson Walker next to him, right? So he's making it work. And I give him a lot of credit for that, though. So yeah, I'm excited for this game, though, because I feel like we've played – it seems like we've played every team except for you guys and the two Indiana schools. And I'm like –
I look at so many, like, you know, Big Ten teams you think we'd be playing, like, penciled in twice a year. You know, it's crazy to me that, well, and then, you know, you starting to get into the conversation of, like, if I remember correctly, like, what's the expansion next year? Like, every team is going to be playing each other once except for three teams that you'll play twice. Like, that's just unreal, man. But, yeah, just the fact that, you know, they've only played as many times as they have. I mean, five times since the start of the COVID season just feels unreal to me, right? And yeah, like you say, it's funny because, you know, just getting on top of that stuff, it's weird to, you know, really dig into, you know, just getting like inconsistencies in scheduling. But, you know, I appreciated the point that you brought up about, you know, like you say, Hogard there in the front court, because when you really, you know, take the chance to, you know, look at how Owen's going to be able to, you know, handle that type of stuff. I mean, that's what's going to first and foremost, you know, be able to, you know, keep us in there. Because I mean, personally, you know, I haven't gotten the chance as much watch you guys as much as I'd like in recent time, but, you know, I think with the fact that Carson Cooper kind of brings, you know, a similar strengths to, you know, what, like you say, with Stephen Crowell at, you know, maybe to like a lesser extent, right? But, you know, I admire what he does, obviously, from an athletic standpoint as well. He definitely just feels like your guys' highest floor option at this point in time, maybe.
I agree. It's either him or Jackson. Just the thing with Kohler is that he's still working his way back from that injury, right? So it's like everybody's in midseason, almost postseason form, and he's still kind of like in preseason form. And that's kind of like the only concern there. But I think the more he plays, though, like I've been saying, this stretch that we have before we get to the Purdue game, we should try and find some post offense, because that's been the biggest thing missing, right? To have a team that doesn't have a post option is like, it makes me want to pull my hair out because we're so used to having that. And it's like, you need to establish that, right? Like you look around the Big Ten, everywhere you go, you know, Minnesota has Dawson Garcia. Obviously, Purdue has Zach Edey. You guys have Owen, right? Wisconsin has Stephen Crowell. Rutgers has Big Cliff, who I love. I wish he was on our team because he's a defensive monster. But everybody has that low post option. Even Michigan has Kamo, and we're just sitting here just like, and again, I don't want to knock Mahdi because he's been through a lot, but it's just like, man, if we had that, it would take so much pressure off Tyson Walker having to be great, AJ Hogard having to set the table, Jaden Akins having to knock down shots, Malik Hall having to go to that next level. But it's going to be interesting. I love the contrast and styles in this game. And
for sure.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for it. I really am. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it feels like we run into that kind of contrast and style, you know, type of discussion in a lot of games for sure. Obviously, like Wisconsin's probably an even greater example of it on Sunday. You know, it's always interesting to see, you know, when we're forced to, you know, get in a lot of more, you know, half court action, or at the same time, you know, when we kind of force, you know, teams like you guys or them to, you know, really have to speed up and try and, you know, score with us when, you know, we're on our game. That's what's just really fascinating to me. And I think, you know, that those teams, you don't get enough credit for how much, you know, they can play with us, you know, in that terms of stuff when, you know, they're on and we're on at the same time. And I got a little off track there when, you know, I started, because I lost my train of thought, but, you know, just going back to like what Tony's, you know, been able to bring when you compared him and AJ, like if I was, as I mean to say, like, I honestly don't know, you know, where Iowa would be this year if it wasn't for the, you know, giant, I mean, pretty big leap that he's been able to take this year. Because, you know, I remember when we were just sort of talking, I forget if it was just in like a, you know, casual space or whatever, you know, you mentioned that, you know, it might have just been like a largely case of, you know, Iowa was kind of just asking Tony to, you know, do a little too much, because it felt like, you know, they were asking him to be, you know, a primary ball handler, you know, top one or two assist guy, and then obviously like a top three or four scoring option on top of that. I mean, that's a big load to take on for sure. And the way that, you know, he's kind of embraced that on top of this season with having, you know, like you say, not having Chris or Phillip around him as well, that's just been, you know, so essential for where we're at this point in time. And I mean, brutally honest, you know, if he was having like the same you know, level of production he was having a season ago, I mean, there probably wouldn't be as much, you know, people hoping that he's coming back for a fifth year, right? So, you know, just I'm so proud of what he's been able to achieve this year. And I would love to see him, you know, close his career out, you know, whether it's this year or next year, just on a high note like he has been.
I agree, man. And it's funny because I kind of compare what he's doing this year. I think he's doing it better, in my opinion. But I compare what he's doing this year, not just to how AJ plays, but also to what Chucky Hepburn had to go through last year, right? Because Wisconsin was very young, right? Connor Sejan was a freshman. Max Klesman was a freshman. Steven Crowell, to me, was good, but he was nowhere near as good as he is right now currently. And you didn't have an AJ Store. And then Tyler Wall was dealing with an injury. So he was like 50-50. You never knew what you were really going to get from him. And that's why Wisconsin struggled. But to me, again, I think Tony's done a hell of a job, again, just being a senior, right? That's one of my favorite things, too, is that obviously we know not everybody's going to go to the NBA. Not everybody's going to have a career after basketball. And I'm not saying this about Tony, but just in general, seeing the growth of guys over their 4 years, because, again, he's played with a lot of talent, right? He's been around Luka Garza. He's been around the Murrays, right? And now he's taken that leadership role, and he's ran with it, and he's done a phenomenal job. And, again, in that Wisconsin game, to see him respond the way that he responded says a lot about his character and everything about him. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. And I mean, it just kind of comes down to, like, you know, the comment. Well, the thing it feels like we hear all the time about, you know, how, I mean, Fran and staff, you know, really seem to, you know, just instill such a high level of confidence in, you know, our players that, I mean, like I say, you just hear about it over and over. And he was talking about it. And I don't know if you saw the postgame interview from that game on Saturday against them, but he was getting like emotional with Steven Bardo. I mean, talking about his grandmother who passed away fairly recently as well. And, you know, just he mentioned, you know, obviously, like, essentially, you know, they told him, you know, you had a rough first half there, but, you know, we know that, you know, you can do this, you can play. And they trusted him to, you know, go out and produce the way he did in that second half for sure. And I mean, it's just really cool to, you know, see how far he's come for sure. And he did, yeah, I guess, like, on top of that, he did a segment of The Journey. I don't know if you watched that on Big Ten Network and a lot, but it was a cool piece for sure. I think he's definitely a guy with a story to tell, without a doubt.
And I got to ask you about Brock, too. I know I didn't put it on our topics earlier, but I got to ask you, just because one thing that I love about the future of the Big Ten, as I kind of mentioned with Rutgers having the number one overall class, is the point guard play, right? Jeremy Fears, I think, is going to be a monster in a few years. Trey Holloman, we got for the next few years. You got Brock. You got Dylan Harper at Rutgers coming in next year. You got a couple other guys in different spots. But just talk to me about Brock Hardy, man, because, again, he played with Owen in high school. They had a lot of success in the state of Illinois. He had some good moments in this game versus Wisconsin. And just, what do you see from him this year, and what do you think he can be in the next few years?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think anyone that's watched Iowa a lot, and I mean, I think a lot of people knew this kind of coming into the year, he kind of brings, you know, something that no one else in our roster truly can, in the way he's able to, you know, probe and initiate offense, you know, as a playmaker, particularly, you know, compared to, you know, just really everyone else on our roster. The scoring definitely has a long way to go at this point in time, because I was looking at Bart Torvik, and, you know, he's definitely, you know, has a long way to go, especially especially like when you look at his numbers when he's, you know, taking like contested shots, which, you know, given where he kind of is at physically, I think, you know, you can give him a bit of leeway. But, you know, it was cool to see him. I mean, knock down a three on Saturday against Wisconsin. I mean, he had a kind of like up and under move as well just before halftime. That was definitely big in our comeback there. But I mean, I was looking at it the other day. I mean, he's averaging like close to, oh my gosh, it was like, it was some unreal, like assist number, you know, just per like X amount of minutes. And I mean, no one else is really like truly bringing that at this point in time. And I mean, when you see him out there with Owen, especially, you know, you see that chemistry between them because of all the, you know, roles they would have ran. And and that's the thing that gets mixed up a bit. I think it's pretty cool that, you know, Owen transferred to Brock's high school for his last season to be able to play together after, you know, they had both committed and they had kind of that relationship established. So, you know, I love to see that, you know, continue to carry over. I think he's definitely primed for hopefully, you know, a good, you know, leap next season. Cause I know that you've mentioned before, like that freshman to sophomore year leap is probably, you know, and likely in so many cases that, you know, biggest transition in terms of kind of what defines a college player. So I'm excited to see, you know, what that holds for him. And as much as, you know, I would also, you know, advocate that we need to be able to bring in, you know, another guy in the portal at that position if Tony was to leave, you know, particularly like a 1 or 2 year guy to help develop alongside him, right? I'm so excited for, you know, what Brock's going to be able to bring to, you know, this team in the future. Because I mean, even like when you think about Jordan Bohannon, obviously, you know, he brought more as a scorer probably, but, and especially a shooter, but, you know, like Brock's playmaking is just at, you know, such a high upside point in time. And I'm so excited for what holds for him, especially with like the level of moxie that he carries about himself.
Nah, for sure, man. I'm very excited to see his growth, man. But before I get you out of here, I would be so wrong to not bring up the great Caitlin Clark, man. Officially last Thursday, she broke the scoring record in all of women's college basketball with a 49-point performance against Michigan at Iowa. And, man, I don't even know where to start, but just how do you explain Caitlin Clark? Because I've always said, like, I've always loved women's college basketball more than anything, and I knew we were going to get to this point where it started to get more recognition and more love. But what she's done has been, again, something I can't even explain. So how would you explain the supernova that is Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, I mean, as an Iowan myself, Kev, I mean, it's just such an awesome story from the fact that, you know, she's from West Des Moines originally and, you know, has always, you know, had Iowa close to her heart, wanted to stay close to home. And I mean, when she committed here, I mean, essentially, I mean, you know, was vowing to, you know, hopefully take Iowa to, you know, a Final Four one day. And obviously, you know, that was done last season, making it all the way to the championship game. You know, it's going to be fun to see, you know, if they can do that again this year for sure. But I mean, she's truly like one of one. I mean, I think a simple way I can put it at this point in time is I love how much of a sicko she honestly is as you know, good as she is at the same time, man. Cause I mean, it's been said over and over, like the fact that, you know, she goes for that record breaking shot on, you know, a transition pull up from the logo. I mean, dude, that's, what do I even say about that? I mean, it's unbelievable stuff. And I mean, it's so cool to me to see that, you know, she's brought so much more, you know, respect and eyeballs to, you know, the women's game in general, kind of like you mentioned there for sure. And you know, regardless of if she chooses to come back one more year here or not, she's achieved everything that, you know, you can achieve as a player. I mean, that pretty much goes without saying, in my opinion. And I'm jealous of my friend, and you know, kind of on top of this as well, I'm so thankful that, you know, I was able to see as many of her games as in person that I was able to, because I'm sure you see now how hard it is to get tickets to their games this season. But yeah, especially seeing, you know, their game at Kinnick, that was so awesome before this year. And game winner against Indiana, I was there as well. But yeah, just to simplifies it, man. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, the love that she's gotten from our fan base is every bit deserved. And, you know, like I was kind of talking about off camera, you know, at the times I feel like Iowa can, you know, the average Iowa fan can get a bit casual when it comes to winter sports in general, being more of a football school, but the way they've, you know, really gotten such an unbelievable fan base, you know, they've been getting themselves into a little trouble almost I've seen on social media at times, but you know, what she's done for the game is just, it's just unbelievable, dude. And I'm definitely not going to, you know, take any game, any moment she's in an Iowa jersey for granted here.
And that's what I'm saying, man. Unlike a lot of people, you literally got to witness it in person. I think you brought up a great point, being that she's from Iowa. I feel like that doesn't get talked about enough. I'm pretty sure you, like, obviously you're from out there, so I'm pretty sure you hear about it, or you, they talk about it all the time, but like from a national standpoint, staying home, like my girl Juju out here, I think that should be a major thing. That should be not necessarily like more of a pat on the back, but just like, it should be recognized more, you know what I'm saying? And for her to do that, again, go to a national championship game, had a great chance to win it. You knock off South Carolina, who everybody thought was the favorite to win it last year. Like, she's done amazing things. Of course, she's had some great teammates too. I love Gabby Marshall. I love Monica, who left a couple, or last year, I believe, right? She's had some really good teammates as well. But she is just, again, it's hard to describe her, right? Because she has the Steph Curry range. She's a really good playmaker. She can get anywhere she wants to on the floor. And she's just a dominant player, man. So,
for sure. You know, I think there's a genuine, just going to say on top of that, like, I think there's a genuine conversation to be had if she's, you know, a better playmaker or shooter at this point in time. I mean, the way that she's able to, I mean, I compared it, I mean, she's like, she's just like a puppeteer out there, the way she's able to, you know, play make and just absolutely run the offense entirely through her to the level that it is, especially with, you know, some of the, you know, double constant, you know, like double team and box and one looks that they're always getting. And I mean, she makes it look like it's the, you know, simplest defense she's ever faced in her life, right? And God, man, it's just unbelievable to see. And without question this year, especially like you say, not having, you know, the Monica especially to go to, it's just been so impressive to see how, you know, she's really put that team on their back. And I mean, they're in line for, you know, a 2 seed again at minimum because of what, you know, she's done this year. I mean, and I mean this in no disrespect to the rest of the team, but you know, without her, I mean, I feel like it's probably like a, you know, a, I mean, lower seed or bubble team, you know what I'm saying? So just what they've been able to achieve this year is absolutely unbelievable. And the way that the state has, you know, really rallied around the sport of women's basketball in general, because Iowa State's definitely, you know, done some good stuff as well. Credit to them. It's just really, it's cool to see. I can't lie. So I'll be interested to see, you know, if that really continues strong, you know, past this point in time, or, you know, whenever, you know, she wraps up her career here.
And I got to say too, one thing people don't really want to talk about, and I'm gonna give her credit for this, but I don't want to make it seem like she's the only reason, but she's really made women's Big Ten basketball better, if I'm just being honest, right? Of course, you've always had Maryland be really good for the most part, but you're starting, and of course, I can't forget Rutgers, obviously, of course, but my Michigan State basketball program getting better. Shout out to Coach Fralick. You're seeing Indiana rise to the occasion. You're seeing a couple other schools. You know, Northwestern's had a good program for a couple years now, so I got to salute her for that, because I feel like when you get greats like that, whether it be players or coaches, it just makes the rest of the conference better. And I appreciate her for that. And yeah, man, just big shout out to Caitlin Clark, man. But Dave, man, I appreciate you for taking the time. It's been an honor. It's been a privilege. We definitely got to do this more for sure. And yeah, man, I appreciate you. Just plug your social media again one more time for the people, please.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Kev, yeah, likewise, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. It's definitely something overdue for sure. But yeah, like you say, the big plug for sure is just on Twitter/X. You can find me at Iowa Hoops Dave. If you want it, that's kind of, you know, just where the platforms go, unfortunately. But if you guys want to, you know, get into, you know, more and further stuff, my DMs are always open. And I'm always, you know, looking, I'm always open to, you know, more minds about basketball, particularly. I love, you know, breaking down the game however I can. And yeah, I miss you know, being able to be a direct competitor, right? So any connections, anything like that, that's always open without a doubt.
Yes sir, man. Again, I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. As always, it's been another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Please like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share, and all those great things. Y'all have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of February. It's almost March, which sounds crazy to say, but we're here nonetheless. And as always, peace and love.